on forgiveness because I will probably need it. We're continuing our series on living the good life and talking about releasing forgiveness today. And so we read from the fourth chapter of Ephesians a whole list of things we should do, ways we should live the Christian life. Hear the word of God. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Did you know that was from the Bible? Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I remember sitting in a congregation and watching one of the children's message in which the pastor laid out a little mat on the chancel and then took a tube of toothpaste, one of the big ones, and squeezed it all out, and then handed one of the more vocal young men of the church a spoon and said, "Here, take that spoon and put all the toothpaste back in the tube." It was great fun to watch. It was a blast watching this little kid try to spoon toothpaste back in the tube. But you know what? You will not be surprised to know that it just doesn't work. You cannot put toothpaste back in the tube. And there are some things that just cannot be undone. A broken promise, a hurtful word, a thoughtless act. Very often, these things cannot be undone. And the only way to deal with a past that cannot be changed, the only way to deal with things that cannot be undone, is forgiveness. So what is forgiveness? Let's start with what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness does not say, "Don't worry, it doesn't matter." We forgive only things that do matter. If I forget to pick up a loaf of bread on the way home from work, I do not need to be forgiven. If I spent half my paycheck in the bar on the way home from work instead of buying shoes for my children, that's an act that does require forgiveness. We forgive only those things that genuinely harm us. We forgive only things that really matter. Here's something else forgiveness is not necessarily anyway. Forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. Forgiveness does not necessarily mean reunion. If you have been hurt in a marriage or a family or a friendship, and you want to rebuild that relationship, then forgiveness is the way to get there. And the goal of forgiveness includes reconciliation, the restoring of the relationship that once was. That often and usually involves forgiving each other, by the way. But there are other situations, the case, say, of an abusive spouse or a violent crime, in which forgiveness most certainly does not mean returning to an abusive marriage or visiting the perpetrator of that crime in prison. You can forgive a person who has harmed you without ever wanting to go near them again. Here's another misunderstanding about forgiveness. Forgiveness does not depend on the remorse of the person who offended you. You can forgive a person who has harmed you without their remorse, without their apology. Remember, forgiveness is the only way to deal with a past that cannot be changed. So why put your own healing in the hands of a person who has already wounded you? No, you can forgive that person without their ever knowing it, and thus accomplish the healing of your own soul. Well, if that's what forgiveness isn't, then what is forgiveness? Well, one of the wisest books I've ever read is about forgiveness. It's by a man named Lewis Smedes, who spent much of his lifetime refining what it is and what it is not to forgive. And he talks about forgiveness as a process. It's a process because it takes time. Forgiveness is not a one-time act of the will by which we let someone off the hook by some grand gesture. Forgiveness is a long-time process. As Smedes wrote, forgiveness is a journey, and the deeper the wound, the longer the journey. Lewis Smedes says that there are three steps in forgiveness. And the first is this: when we rediscover the humanity of the person who hurt us. In Ephesians, we just read, forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And in that deceptively simple phrase, we're reminded that all of us have been in need of God's forgiveness. So I may just have more in common with the person who offended me than at first I realize. In that first step of forgiving, we recognize that the person who hurt us is more than just a person who hurt us. There's more to him than this one event. There's more to her than this one misdeed. Perhaps thinking about their life as a whole reveals information to you that explains why it is that they acted so unkindly or cruelly. And maybe that helps you let go of your hurt. Or maybe learning more and thinking about them that way just makes you blame them all the more for what they've done. Either way, you rediscover him as a human being who is flawed, damaged, perhaps ruined, unkind, cruel, maybe, but nonetheless a human being. And the second step in the process of forgiveness is to surrender my right to get even. Notice that I have a right to get even because I have been wronged. But I give up that right in order, first of all, to heal my own soul. And then maybe, if that's also part of my goal, then maybe to restore that relationship. Remember what we said, forgiveness does not require reconciliation with the person who wronged you. Reunion is not required for forgiveness. But notice also that giving up the right to revenge, giving up the right to get even, is not the same as giving up on justice. There are consequences to actions that must be experienced. The cheating student may be forgiven, but he still gets an F on his report card. The lying neighbor may be forgiven, but she loses the right to be trusted with the house key. The abusive spouse may be forgiven, but charges are not dropped, and you do not move back into the home again. Justice must be served, but revenge is a dog that does not need to be fed. That's because our desire for revenge is rarely satisfied. Have you noticed that no matter how we get even, no matter how we get someone back, it's hardly ever enough? The pain that I experience almost always seems worse than the pain I inflicted on you. So when we surrender the right to get even, what we're doing is choosing not to spend the rest of our lives overwhelmed or preoccupied with what happened to us. We will not spend the rest of our lives plotting revenge. We will not allow our daily thoughts to be consumed by this wrong that was done to us. In short, we're choosing not to let this wrong re-victimize us over and over and over again. Forgiveness allows us to make a most creative and amazing choice to finish it and put it in our past and move forward in life and really live again. And eventually, Smead says, the final stage is to no longer wish the one who harmed you to be swallowed whole by some woodland creature or humiliated in a public setting or any one of a number of things that we wish would happen to them, but to revise our feelings in such a way that we actually wish them slightly well. And when that happens, Smead says, then we will know that we are teaming up with God in a modest miracle of healing. When we forgive, Smead says, we set a prisoner free. And we discover that the prisoner we set free is us. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day, and we remember those who have gone before us into life everlasting. And very often we have unfinished business with the saints. Like us, very few of them were perfect. And even those we loved the most may have left us with a scar. Now, some of us today may wish that someone who is no longer with us could forgive you. Well, then let me tell you that one of the gifts that comes when we're granted eternal life with God is that you now see things as they really are, and not in this dim haze that we see things now. Have you ever talked with someone who has beaten cancer, or who maybe survived a car accident that they had no right to survive, and they now have a completely different take on life? What was important before now no longer is. And now some things that maybe weren't a priority now, they know are what's really important. Now think, if that's true on this side of eternity for people who've had that kind of experience, what's it like to be on God's side of eternity? How much now must those who are with God in heaven really see things the way they are? I think it's very likely that your loved one has already spoken those words of forgiveness from his or her side. And if you, on this side of eternal life, if you have unfinished business in the way of forgiveness to attend to, then I encourage you to start today. Because you can forgive people, even now, those who are with God. Start today and set on that journey that sets a prisoner free. And let God help you discover that the prisoner who most needs to be set free is you. Thanks be to God for this amazing gift of forgiveness, the only way to deal with a past that cannot be changed. Amen. And let's worship God now with our gifts and with song.
Join me in prayer. Lord, how blessed we are to have been given so much by you, and for the love that we receive through Jesus Christ. Bless now what we give in return to further your kingdom and share your light. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
This is the joyful feast of the people of God. And Jesus says that people will come from north and south